Enjoy singing songs of victory.
我不知道各位觉得怎么样，但是我非常觉得喜乐。当我们在唱这样一个胜利的诗歌的时候
，And the reality is that Christ won the victory 2,000 years ago.
而事实上，主耶稣基督已经在2000年前赢了这场战争。
And the reality is we get to live in that victory that He purchased for us.
而事实上，我们就是因着这样一个胜利的基础，我们继续存活。
And that produces a joy and a confidence in my heart.
而这样的事情从在我心中就产生了喜乐与信心。
So I trust that you're here this morning with joy and confidence in your heart.
所以我相信在座的各位心中都充满了喜乐，也充满了信靠主的心。
This very first Sunday of the year.
这是第一个主日，在这个新的一年里面。
And that we will enter into this year with faith in our hearts to believe that God will bring to pass what He desires.
我们相信神，他会把他的心意照着他的旨意，他会成全在我们当中。
I know that some of you have been involved in the preparations for planning for a wedding.
我知道在座各位有许多人曾经参与过要准备婚礼的事情上面。
Either your own wedding or the wedding of one of your children.
可能是你自己的婚礼，可能是你的一个小孩的婚礼。
And one of the challenges of planning for that wedding is to decide who's going to be on the guest list.
其中有一个非常有挑战性的问题，就是说我们到底要邀请哪些人。
We're trying to satisfy at least four different parties.
我们有四种不同的聚会我们必须要安排。
There's the bride.
四种不同 的族群，一个是新娘方面的。
The bride's parents.
新娘的父母。
The groom.
新郎。
And the groom's parents.
还有新郎的父母。
And of course there will be some overlap.
因为这些客人都会彼此会认识。
But somehow these four parties have to come to an agreement of who's going to be invited.
但是这四组人最后我们必须要商量好，然后最后要邀请到底是哪些人。
Who will be on the list? Who do we have to leave off from the list?
有些人我们必须要在邀请的名单当中，有些人我们不得不割舍。
Sometimes there are practical considerations like can we afford to invite everyone we want to invite?
有一个很现实的问题，我们如果想要邀请所有我们认识的人的话，我们到底能够负担得起吗？
But sometimes there's a greater dilemma.
但是有些时候更大的两难的情况是，
And that is knowing that we should invite someone, but we don't want to invite them.
那就是我们应该要邀请某些人，但是我们实在是不想邀请他。
When we are supposed to invite a relative who has a reputation that is not so good.
如果说我们邀请一位亲戚，但是他的名声实在是不太好。
You know that you're supposed to invite them.
你知道你应该要邀请他。
But you don't want to invite them.
但是你实在是不想邀请他。
I believe God had a similar difficulty.
神有类似的两难的情况。
He wanted to accomplish some things.
他要完成一些事情。
It was not a wedding.
当然不是一个婚礼。
At least not yet.
至少还没有发生。
But he wanted to invite his people to an event.
他要邀请他的子民成就一件事情。
Unfortunately, they had a bad reputation.
但是很可惜的是，这些人常常背逆他。
And he faced the dilemma of whether he was going to invite them or not.
而他神就面对一个两难，他到底要不要邀请这些人？
They're part of the family.
他们是家庭的一份子。
But if he invites them, it may cause great embarrassment.
但是如果是真的要邀请他的话，他可能会做了很多错事。
Let's turn to Psalm 85.
让我们一同翻到诗篇85篇。
Psalm 85 is only about 13 verses long.
诗篇八十五篇总共有十三节。
It's actually divided into four sections.
可以分成四个部分。
And we'll take each section one at a time.
我们会一个部分一个部分来看。
It can be a little challenging to understand this psalm.
有些时候要了解诗篇不太容易。
But I trust that you will see, be able to see the pattern that is in it.
但是我相信神会带我们看清楚里面所要传达的信息。
I believe that the setting behind this psalm is the time period after which the Israelites had gone into exile for 70 years and then began to come back.
我相信这首诗篇的背景是以色列人被掳70年之后然后归回的这段时间。
Israel has a reputation for idolatry, for being unteachable, for being stiff-necked and hard-hearted.
以色列民他有一样这样的一个一些他不顺从神他硬着景象他心中刚硬。
And yet they are part of the people of God.
但是他们却是属神的子民。
They're part of his family.
他是神家中的一份子。
What is he going to do?
神怎么做呢?
I believe that the psalmist captures the problem as well as the solution.
我相信诗人在这里他看到了问题但同时他也抓到了如何解决这个问题的方法。
And in the first three verses, the psalmist makes an observation
在前三节诗人做了一些观察
of the action that God has taken so far.
是在历史当中神为了以色列人做了哪些事。
For the English Fellowship, I just want you to know I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version instead of the NIV today. In Psalm 1, Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob.
耶和华，你已经向你的地施恩，救回被掳的雅各。
You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin.
你赦免了你百姓的罪孽，遮盖了他们一切的过犯。
You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger.
你收转了所发的愤怒和你猛烈的怒气。
In this psalm, the psalmist indicates that his people knew and understood that God was very angry with them at one point.
在前三节里面，我们诗人让我们看到他的子民非常清楚神曾经对着以色列民所发的愤怒和猛烈的怒气。
And I believe that the understanding of this anger comes in the context of covenant.
而这样子的了解这样的认识是因为他们对约有他们的认识。
In Deuteronomy chapter 30, the people understand that if they obey the law that God had given them, they would receive the blessings of the covenant.
在申命记三十章里面，以色列民知道，如果他们遵从约的指示，那么他们就会得到从这个约出来的神的祝福。
But if they chose to repeatedly disobey the laws that God had given them, they would ultimately receive the cursings of the covenant.
而相同的，如果他们拒绝或者他们违背了神的在约里面的指示，那么他就会从这个约当中受到咒诅。
Not because that's what God wanted to do, but that was because that's the terms of the covenant.
并不是说神要这样做或那样做，而是因为这是约的约定。
So they have already been through a season of experiencing the cursings of the covenant.
所以他们已经经历到了因着不顺服所带来约的咒诅。
And the opening of this psalm gives an indication that God is bringing them, turning the ship around from a place of cursings of the covenant back towards the blessings of the covenant once again.
而这三节里面我们看到以色列民已经看到了神从因着他们的不顺服所带来的咒诅而将要转回他们只要顺服就能够得到神的祝福。
He speaks of the forgiveness they have received.
他讲到了他的罪孽得到赦免。
That their sin is covered.
他们的过犯得到遮盖。
But more importantly, that God has turned away from his wrath upon them.
而最重要的是神已经收转了所发的愤怒。
It's kind of like saying, we're still alive.
有点是叹一口气说我们还是存活着。
The psalm is actually a corporate prayer for the renewal and revival of God's people.
这首诗篇并不是一个私祷，而是一个公祷，是在对神发出呼求，求神复兴他们。
It speaks of God's visitation to His people.
它是讲到说求神再来与他的子民同在。
I'd like to do a little survey this morning.
我想要做一个调查。
How many people here this morning either teach their children or have taught their children to bow their head when they pray?
在座的各位，有没有谁？你如果有小孩的话，你曾经教你的小孩祷告的时候要低头，或者是你现在正在教他们祷告的时候要低头，有没有这样的人？
Can you just raise your hand?
举手一下。你教小孩祷告的时候要低头，请举手。
It's okay, you don't have to be embarrassed.
没关系，你可以举起手来，这个没什么大关系。
Okay, I'm guessing maybe about 25-30.
可能有25-30位。
Okay. How many, the second part of the question is, how many understand the purpose for teaching your children to bow their head?
第二个问题是说，你们在这样教导的时候，有没有教导他们为什么要祷告的时候要低头
？What is the reason？
怎么？你们知道原因是什么？为什么要低头
？If you know the reason, raise your hand.
如果你知道这个原因，请你举手。
Okay. See a few.
有一些。
Five, six.
五位，六位。
Seven.
七位。
Eight.
八。
Okay.The third part of the question is, how many have actually taught, of the eight people, how many have actually taught their children the reason for bowing their head?
现在第三个问题才是真正是说，你明白这个原因，而你实际上你在教孩子祷告的时候，你也把这个原因教导了孩子。
This is not a trick question.
你就是很，这是很简单的问题。
Okay, I see at least one.
有没有这样的？有一位，至少有一位。你在教导他们低头祷告的时候，同时也教导他们为什么要低头祷告。
I'm looking for more hands. I think you can understand where I'm going with this.
我相信各位明白我的意思。
I asked the same question in a smaller church in New Jersey.
我曾经问过同样的问题在 New Jersey 的一个小教会里头。
And the answer to the first question was about 30 people.
第一个问题大概有30位举起手来。
They were teaching their children to bow their head when they pray.
他会教导他的小孩祷告的时候要低头。
But when I asked how many people understood the reason for bowing their head, there was only two people that raised their hand.
但是当我问说你知不知道为什么你自己知不知道为什么要这样子低头祷告的时候只有两位举起手来。
And one of those two people was the senior pastor.
而两位当中其中的一位那是他那个教会的资深的传道人。
What is the reason that we bow our head?
我们为什么要祷告的时候要低头呢
?You see, if we teach our children,that we are to bow our head when we pray, but we don't communicate the purpose for which we do it, and the reason that we do it, then they have a form of religion without the power.
如果说我们只是教导小孩子祷告的时候要低头而没有解释为什么，什么原因我们祷告要低头，那么我们只不过给他一个宗教的仪式。而没有能力去执行。
They have a form of religion without the understanding.
他们有一个宗教的仪式，但是却不明白他们在做什么。
And when they grow up to the place where they become their own decision makers,
而当他们长大到一个地步，他们必须要自己做决定的时候
，they're going to look at that religion.
他们就会看着这样的仪式。
They're going to look at that form and they're going to ask the question, "What is this for?"
然后他们才开始问我为什么要这么做
？Why am I doing this?
为什么我们要这么做呢
？And when they ask the question, if they don't have an answer, do you know what they do with it?
如果他们问这个问题而他没有答案的时候你觉得他会怎么做呢
One of two things.
有两个之中的一个
They either look for the answer
他们一个是去追求答案
Or they throw it out
或者他就把这样的仪式丢掉了
Hopefully they look for the answer
我们当然希望他能够自己去找答案
The reason we teach our children to bow their head when they pray is this
我们为什么要教小孩子低头的祷告的时候要低头原因在下面
Israel was known as a rebellious stiff-necked people
以色列民 是大家都所知道的，是悖逆神应着景象的人民。
And when it comes time for you and I to pray, the reason that we bow our head,
而当我们要祷告神的时候，我们需要低头的原因是
is not only an indication of worship to our Lord,
不仅仅只是敬拜这位主。
One of the things that we are saying is, I am not like one of those stiff-necked.
我们同时向神表达了，我们并不是像以色列民那样的硬着景象。
Israelites. I'm not like one of those stiff-necked Israelites. I am not going to be in a place where I refuse to bend my neck.
我并不是那个硬着景象的以色列民，我并不是那个不要弯着我的景象的这样的人。
When we pray and we bow our head before the Lord, what we are saying is, Lord, when you give me your command, I will be submissive and obedient to what you say.
当我们祷告的时候，我们低着头，是向神表达出我们不悖逆。当神向我们发出命令的时候，我们愿意遵行。
I will not ignore what you have said to me. I will listen to what you have said.
如果你对我说的话，我愿意听从。
Also, I will not forget what you have said.
而且我也不会忘记你曾经对我们说的什么话。
Now I recognize.That when a child is very young, we teach them to bow their head.
我知道当小孩子非常小，我们教导他要把头低下来当祷告的时候。
And they're not old enough to understand at that time.
他们那个时候，他没有办法，他理解力不够，可以了解为什么他们要低头祷告。
But as they grow up, we need to teach them what the meaning of that form is about.
但是当他们渐渐长大的时候，我们必须要解释为什么我们要这么做。
If we teach our children the form without the reason, then we are only communicating empty religion to them.
如果我们只是教导他们一个宗教的仪式而没有解释原因的话，那我们只不过把一套空的宗教仪式传给了他们。
An empty religion does not have the relationship with Christ.
而这套空的宗教仪式并没有与主耶稣基督个人的关系。
This is where the psalmist is at.
这个是这个诗人写这首诗的背景。
He recognizes Israel has been through a time period of having been stiff-necked.
他知道以色列民曾经是这样硬着景象。
And they're coming back to a place where God is restoring them once again.
而他们已经到了一个神使他们回转的一个地步。
He has lifted his anger from them.
神已经收回他的怒气。
And he's ready to restore them.
而神已经预备好要恢复他们。
And this time, he wants to do it right.
而这一次，他要把这件事情做对。
This time, he wants to have not just a form of religion, but to have the relationship with the head.
不仅要有一个宗教的仪式，更重要的是与这位神有个人的关系。
So in the next four verses 4-8, we hear the cry of the psalmist's heart.
接下来的这几节，从第四节到第八节，我们听到诗人的呼求。
Let me just list the four of these for you.
让我先把这四样事情讲出来。
Verse 4 has restore us.
在第四节里面。有讲到拯救。
Verse 6 has revive us.
第六节有讲到救活，中文翻译。
The first part of verse 7 has show us.
在第七节有讲到使我们得见。
And the latter part of verse 7 is grant us.
而在第七节有讲到赐给我们。
The first part of the cry of his heart is restore us.
对不起，第四节讲到是说使我们回转。
This is in verse 4. He recognizes that Israel had been disobedient. They had suffered the cursings of the covenant.
诗人清楚地了解到以色列民因着不顺服而承受了这个约的咒诅。
And it's a cry from the depth of his heart that they can be restored to the blessings of the covenant once again.
这是诗人从心中发出的呼求，求神能够使他们回转。
As he continues into verse 6, he says, Will you not revive us again?
第六节，你不再将我们救活吗？
It's a prayer of desperation to save their life.
这是一个很紧急的呼求，要拯救他们的生命。
And the ultimate purpose is so that they can rejoice in God their Father once again.
而拯救的最终的目的是为了要以神为乐。
I'm going to share with you an illustration I had shared with you one previous time.
我将要举个例子，我以前曾经可能提过。
But it left a big impact on my life.
它这件事情对我生命造成很大的冲击。
There is a group of us from church who were playing softball one afternoon.
在有一个下午里面，我们教会的弟兄姊妹一起在玩垒球。
And one of the sisters began choking or coughing and choking at first mildly.
其中有一位姊妹，她开始有点咳嗽，有点窒息的那个现象。
And then it got worse and worse.
然后一开始是很轻微的，然后渐渐越来越严重。
So we stopped the ball game and we gathered around her.
所以我们就停止了这个游戏，这个比赛，我们就围着她。
And at that point, she was coughing and choking so much she could hardly breathe.
而那时候她已经咳得很，这个窒息得非常厉害，几乎不能够呼吸了。
My personal assumption was that there was something caught in her throat.
我当时我的猜测就是说，一定有东西哽住她的喉咙。
So.We prayed and asked God to remove what was stuck in her throat.
所以我们向神呼求，求神把她喉咙中的那个异物把它除掉。
As we finished praying, a policeman walked up and said, "What's the problem?"
当我们祷告完了以后，有一位警察走过来。
Immediately, he radioed for permission to transport her to the hospital.
所以他就马上用无线电呼叫救护车，可以把她送到医院去。
We got in one of the cars on our team, and we began heading for the hospital.
所以我们就用我们自己的车，其中一部车，要把这个车要把它送到医院去。
Halfway there, a fireman met us, got in the car, and we continued on to the hospital.
在路途中，有一位消防员碰到了我们，他进了车，然后跟我们一起到。
On the way there, she passed out three times from lack of air.
从在这个路程当中，她昏迷了三次，因为没有呼吸。
I was sitting in the front seat next to the driver.
我坐在前座，在司机的旁边。
Praying with desperation, God save her life.
我紧急的呼求主，求主拯救这位姊妹。
Lord, remove whatever is in her throat that is blocking the airway.
主啊，我不知道什么东西梗在她喉咙里面，但是求主把这个东西挪去。
We finally arrived at the emergency room.
我们终于到达了急救室。
And an hour later, the doctor came out to see us.
经过了一个小时之后，医生出来告诉我们。
He told us that there was nothing in her throat.
他告诉我们他的喉咙里面什么都没有。
And I was shocked.
那我就觉得非常惊奇。
But come to find out, she had failed to take her medication.
而这个原因是她没有按时吃她的药。
Her body went into shock.
她身体产生了休克的情形。
And it was closing off her airway.
因此他的肌肉呼吸管道就关住了，没有办法呼吸。
You see, technically, we had prayed the wrong words.
从技术上来说，我所做的祷告，所用的词句都是错的。
We asked God to remove whatever was blocking the airway.
我求主把他喉咙中的异物赶快把它拿走。
But the Lord taught me a very important lesson that day.
神在那天教了我一个很重要的功课。
That He didn't hear the words of our mouth.As much as he heard the cry of our heart,
他不单单只是听我们所讲的话，他更重视的是我们心中的意念是什么。
He heard the cry of our heart when we prayed for her, and actually answered our prayer by sending a policeman before we even prayed.
他听见我们心中的呼求，因此在我们还没有开始祷告之前，这位警察其实已经向我们走来了。
He heard the cry of our heart.
他听见我们心中的呼求。
And as you read through the psalm, if you can only hear the cry of the psalmist's heart,
如果你读这篇诗，你能够听到这位诗人他心中的呼求。
To save Israel's life,
要将以色列民救活。
Here's a family member whose life is in danger.
这是家庭的成员当中，他的生命已经在危机当中了。
They had not followed the instructions that they had been given.
他们并没有遵照神所指示的去行。
They were suffering the consequences of not following those instructions.
他们现在正在为着自己做错的事情所承受的一些后果在受苦着。
And as soon as she began to correct following those instructions, the symptoms went away.
而当你 纠正了这个不幸的恶心的时候，一些受苦的征兆开始被挪除了。
So when the psalmist says, Will you not revive us again? He's crying out for Israel's life.
当第六节，你不再将我们救活吗？诗人在这里呼求的是说，求你将我们救活。
In verse 7, it says, Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation.
第七节，耶和华，求你使我们得见你的慈爱，又将你的救恩赐给我们。
The NIV has unfailing love.
在新国际版圣经，英文圣经讲的是永不止息的爱。
And the King James and New King James Version has the word mercy.
新钦定本圣经英文所讲的是怜悯。
And it sounds like it's two very different things.
好像是神两个不同的属性。
It's a Hebrew word that actually implies kindness.
而在希伯来文，原文圣经里头这个字，希伯来文这个字指的是恩慈。
Lord, will you show us your unfailing love?
主啊，求你使我们得见你的慈爱。
Will you show us your mercy?
向我们显现你的怜悯。
But the Hebrew word actually means kindness.
但是希伯来文原文讲的是恩慈。
And when you research the root of that Hebrew word, the meaning of that word actually means to bend the neck.
而事实上，这个希伯来文的字根的意思就是要把你的颈项弯下来。
Do you hear the irony in this?
你看到其中很讽刺的事情吗？
Here's the psalmist who is interceding on behalf of a stiff-necked people.
这是一个诗人，他为了一群硬着颈项的以色列民。
And he uses a word that is asking God to bend his neck towards us.
而他呼求这位主，要求主把主的颈项弯下来对着他们。
You see, when a father talks to his children, he's much taller.
当一个父亲在对着他小孩讲话的时候，当然父亲是很高的。
And in order to talk to his children,He needs to bend the neck to look into their face.
而当他要看着他的小孩的眼睛说话的时候，他必须要弯着颈项。
I believe that there's two main ways that kindness is expressed.
有两个主要的方式，你可以表达你的恩慈。
One is with words.
有一种是借着话语。
And the other is with the eyes.
而另外一个是用着你的眼睛。
And what the psalmist is asking, when he's asking for mercy,
而当这位诗人他向神求他的怜悯的时候，
he's asking the Father, would you bend your neck to show kindness to us?
他求这位主可不可以弯着他的颈项，向我们显示出他的恩慈。
You see, at one point, his hand was raised, ready to strike them.
有一到一个时期，这位神他是举起手来要惩罚刑罚这个以色列民。
But he turned from his wrath.
但是他从他的愤怒当中收回。
And now the psalmist is asking for kindness.
而现在诗人求主赐给恩慈。
Do you know that it doesn't matter what language you speak?
你知道并不管你用什么样的语言在说话。
You can always communicate kindness.With your eyes.
但是你永远可以用你的眼神表达你心中的恩慈。
And the psalmist is asking the Father to bend his neck.
而诗人是求主能够弯下他的颈项。
Not because he's stiff-necked.
并不是神是硬着颈项的。
But so that he can look them directly in the eyes.
而是让神能够直接用他的眼神看他的子民。
Have you done that?
你们做过这样的事吗？
The second part of verse 7 says, Grant us your salvation.
在第七节第二个部分，又将你的救恩赐给我们。
It speaks of restoring them to a place of liberty and freedom.
它这边讲到的是求神可以让他们回转，可以释放他们得到自由。
Where they have been delivered from their enemies.
可以从他们的仇敌的手中释放出来。
When my wife and I were preparing for our wedding a number of years ago,
然后几年以前, 我和我的太太在准备婚礼的时候,
we were going through the invitation list.
我们也同样的, 在开始找这个我们要邀请的客人的名单。
We had a limited amount of funds.
我们所有的资金非常的少。
And we wanted to invite about three times as many people as what we could afford.
但是我们所要邀请的客人可能会超过我们预算三倍。
So we worked on the list and worked on the list.
我们继续在修正这个名单。
And we got it down to about 110 people.
我们最后名单剩下110位。
But our most difficult decision was an aunt of my wife's.
但是我们最困难的一个决定就是, 我太太的一位婶婶。
She had a reputation for drinking too much.
她有一个习惯就是她常常喜欢喝酒喝得很多。
She had a reputation for misbehaving, especially at wedding banquets.
她有一个习惯,她常常,尤其是在婚礼的婚宴当中,常常有一些很不好的行为。
And had embarrassed not only herself, but many of the relatives.
不仅出了自己的洋相, 而且让亲人都受到觉得很羞愧。
And we had to make a decision. Would we invite her or not?
我们必须要做这样的决定, 我们到底要不要邀请这位亲戚?
This is part of God's decision.
这个是神决定当中的一项。
What would be his attitude toward his children? Who have misbehaved.
那就是神对着一群行为失检不检的他的子民, 他要怎么做?
And it seems that things are weighing in the balance.
事情好像不是很平衡。
And he begins, after looking at the cry of his heart,
当除了心中的呼求之后,
he begins preparing the way for revival.
大家对神发出这样的呼求之后, 他开始预备自己。
Let's look at verse 8.
让我们看第八节。
He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints.
我要听神耶和华所说的话, 因为他必应许将平安赐给他的百姓, 他的圣民。
This is the only place in the psalm where the word I is used.
这是这十三节当中唯一一节用到我这个字。
And I believe it communicates a very important principle.
这个传达出了一个很重要的原则。
That for anyone who desires to see revival among God's people, it must begin with I.
如果有一位,任何一位希望在神的子民当中看到神所带下的复兴, 那么一定是开始于我。
In contrast to the disobedience that Israel had been going through previously, the psalmist says, I will listen.
在跟以色列民那样的背应着景象违背神的对比当中, 诗人说, 我要听。
He does not say, we will listen.
他并不是说, 我们要听。
He says, I will listen.
他是说, 我自己要听。
The revival will begin with me in my own heart.
复兴 要从我自己心中的深处开始。
When he says I will listen, it implies an obedience to any command that is heard.
当说我要听的时候, 他表达了我要顺服神所对我说的一切话。
I make an observation, especially among older Christians, and I find it even in myself at times.
我观察到许多老基督徒, 或者是我自己也是有这样的情形。
It's a syndrome that's called, it doesn't apply to me.
是有一个症候群, 有一个通病, 那就是说, 这些话不是对我说的。
It's when we hear truth and recognize that it's truth,
当我们听到真理, 而且知道这是真理的时候,
and we say, that's for the person next to me.
我们说, 这个真理, 刚好是为着坐在我旁边那位弟兄或姊妹说的。
That's for my wife. She really needs to hear this.
这是为了我的太太, 她实在是需要听这样的信息。
Or that's for the person in the row in front of me. He really needs to hear this.
这个信息就是坐在我前面的那位弟兄该听的信息。
It's a syndrome called the truth doesn't apply to me.
这是一种通病, 那就是这项真理不适用在我的身上。
And we do it so casually.
And
simply.
我们常常这么做, 而且很简单就这么去做了。
And when we do it, it's because it's somehow difficult for the truth to penetrate and to reach the person's heart.
而当你这样做的时候，事实上这样的真理实在是没有办法达到这个人的心中。
The scribes and Pharisees had that same syndrome.
文士和法利赛人正是有这样子的毛病。
When they took Jesus' teaching and said, "Oh, that doesn't apply to me."
他们听了主耶稣基督的教训，他说这不是对我说的。
And part of the reason I believe that Jesus spoke so harshly to them was to penetrate the defenses and to penetrate that syndrome that says the truth doesn't apply to me.
而之所以主耶稣基督在世的时候对着文士法利赛人这么的严厉，就是因着他要刺透这些法利赛人文士他们心中的那样个不信的心。
That truth is for somebody else. In verse 8, the psalmist said, I will listen. The revival will begin with him.
但是第八节，诗人说我要听，复兴将要从我自己本身开始。
Secondly,
第二
in verse 9 is, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
第九节，他的救恩诚然与敬畏他的人相近，叫荣耀住在我们的地上。
Actually, I skipped one. Let's go to verse 8.
让我们再读一下八节的最后面。
It says, let them not return to folly.
他们却不可再转去妄行。
What is the folly he's referring to?
什么是妄行呢？
It's the folly of worshipping idols.
就是敬拜偶像，崇拜偶像的妄行。
Bowing before a God who has no power whatsoever.
崇拜一些没有能力的一些偶像。
Let's go back to verse 9.
第九节。
His salvation is near to those who fear him.
他的救恩诚然与敬畏他的人相近。
The psalmist understood that if Israel was going to walk with the Lord, they needed a revival of the fear of the Lord.
诗人知道，以色列人如果要重新与神同行的话，他们需要建立起对神敬畏的心。
The fear of the Lord does at least two things.
敬畏神至少有两件事情。
It sets people free from the fear of man.
敬畏神可以释放你，让你不惧怕人。
Worrying about what other people think all the time.
常常担心别人对你有什么想法。
And secondly, it causes the fear of the Lord causes people to make right choices.
而第二件事情就是，你敬畏神可以让我们做出正确的决定。
These three things, I will listen.
我要听。
Not return to folly.
不再转去妄行。
And the fear of the Lord brings about a desired result.
而敬畏神的人会有一个好的结果。
That desired result in verse 9 says that glory may dwell in our land.
而这个心中所渴望的结果就是第九节的后半段，叫荣耀住在我们的地上。
What is glory?
荣耀是什么？
The word glory means weight.
荣耀这个有它的分量，有它的重量。
It's the weight or the heaviness of the manifestation of his presence among his people.
那就是神的同在，这样的分量，这样一个重量在我们当中。
Let's turn to Isaiah 60.
让我们翻到以赛亚书六十章。
Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 2, which is familiar to you.
以赛亚书六十章第一节、第二节，许多弟兄姊妹相当熟悉。
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.
兴起发光，因为你的光已经来到，耶和华的荣耀发现照耀你。
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
看啊，黑暗遮盖大地，幽暗遮盖万民，耶和华却要显现照耀你，他的荣耀要现在你身上。
What is the prophet saying?
先知在这里说的是什么呢？
He's saying that the weight of the majesty of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to come and rest upon his people.
就是这位荣耀的神，这位至高无上的神将会来到众民的当中。
That glory will be so bright that it will be recognized by the people around them.
这个荣耀是这个光是这样的明亮，会被他的子民所认识，所察觉。
We don't have to turn there, but in Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7.
我们不需要再翻下面这书圣经，在哈该书第二节，第二章六到七节。
God gives them a promise, gives his people a promise to bring his glory.
神对他的子民做出这样的应许，就是他的荣耀要充满圣殿。
And he makes a promise, in Haggai 2 that says, And I will fill this temple with glory.
而在哈该书里面有一段话，就是讲到说，我就是耶和华神，就使这殿满了荣耀。
I believe that was ultimately fulfilled. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 14.
我相信这样的预言最后实现了，让我们一同翻到新约圣经约翰福音第一章第十四节。新约圣经约翰福音第一章。
The Lord did fulfill that promise by bringing his glory into the temple.
神的确是成就这样的应许，把他的荣耀满了圣殿。
The glory...of the latter temple was greater than the glory in the first temple.
末后的殿要荣耀过先前的殿，要大过先前的殿。
But the New Testament fulfillment of that promise,
但是在新约里面，这个应许的成就
is in chapter 1 verse 14.
是在约翰福音第一章第十四节。
And it says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father,Full of grace and truth.
道成了肉身，住在我们中间，充充满满的有恩典，有真理。我们也见过他的荣光，正是父独生子的荣光。
When Christ came from heaven to earth, it was the fulfillment, the utter fulfillment of that promise that God would bring his glory and have it descend upon the people.
当主耶稣基督他在天上道成了肉身的时候，正是满足了神以前的应许，就是把他的荣耀带在他的子民当中。
In verse 14 it says, And we beheld his glory.
一章十四节，我们也见过他的荣光。
But here in the Old Testament, in Psalm 85,
但是在旧约诗篇八十五篇里面，
The psalmist has a vision of what that renewal and revival with the glory is going to look like.
诗人在那个时候似乎已经看到了这个应许将要成就的时候是怎么成就的。
Let's go back to Psalm 85.
让我们再翻回诗篇八十五篇。
And we'll look at the fourth and the final section.
让我们一同来看最后的一个部分，第四个部分。
In verse 10 it says, Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed.
第十节，慈爱和诚实彼此相遇，公义和平安彼此相亲。
Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
十一节，诚实从地而生，公义从天而现。
If you have a different translation, they might have used slightly different word.
如果你有不同的翻译版本，可能字不太一样。
So what we see is a depiction of something that is in heaven and something that is on earth.
所以我们看到了有一些东西在天上，有些东西在地上。
The mercy is in heaven.
怜悯在天上。
The faithfulness or truth is on the earth.
信实或是真理是在地上。
It's his faithfulness that has been reproduced in some of the people.
是他的信实在地上的一些人的心中产生了出来。
Righteousness is in heaven.
公义是在天上。
The peace is what he has brought on the earth.
平安是神从天上所带下来在地上的一些平时。
Not in a political military sense, but peace in this earth.
并不是在政治上或在军事上的平安，而是在心中的那个和平。
And the psalmist's vision of the revival that will take place is when that which is in heaven comes down and kisses that which is on earth.
而诗人在这里所提到的彼此相亲，就是指着在天上的这些性质跟在地上的性质，神从天上把这些品质带下来，而与地上的这些成分相彼此相亲。
We have mercy in heaven, righteousness in heaven.
我们有慈爱、公义在天上。
Faithfulness on earth, peace on earth.
我们有诚实在地上，有平安在地上。
These are the four pillars of revival.
这是四个基石，为着 神的子民的复兴是一个四大基石。
And the revival comes and takes place when that which is in heaven comes and meets that which is on earth.
而复兴就是当天上的这两样跟地上的两样彼此相遇，彼此相亲。
Do you follow what I'm saying?
你们知道我所要说的吗？
It usually takes two people to have a real kiss.
通常要两个人才能够有相亲。
You've seen some where the person stands there and maybe the other person comes and gives them a little kiss on the cheek.
我们常会看到一个人就是站在那边，然后另外一个人过来在他的脸颊上面相亲。
The kiss is not returned.
这个亲吻并没有回馈的亲吻。
But you know that the love is there.
但是你知道爱在那个地方。
But with two lovers, they both move towards each other.
但是真正彼此相爱的两个人，他们是两个人彼此向对方移动。
And they both, as they move towards each other, ultimately kiss.
而当他们慢慢接近的时候，最后他们彼此相亲。
One of the highlights of the wedding is when we can say, "You may now kiss the bride."
在婚礼当中，一个高潮就是当温德牧师说，对着新郎说，你现在可以亲吻你的新娘。
And the psalmist has a vision of revival that when that which is in heaven and that which is on earth.
地上的诚实与平安彼此相近相遇相亲。
And in that kiss, love has to be the motivation.
而在这样的一个动作当中它的背后的动机就是爱。
We don't live in the Old Testament anymore. We live in the New Testament.
我们不是今天不是活在旧约当中，我们现在活的是新约当中。
What does New Testament revival look like?
新约当中的复兴是怎么样的复兴呢？
I believe it's the same four pillars.
我相信同样具有这四大基石。
But it is the fulfillment, John 1:14, of Christ bringing his glory from heaven to earth.
就是在我们刚才读的那个经节里面，约翰福音一章十四节，主耶稣基督亲自道成了肉身，住在我们中间。
You see, in New Testament revival, there's a cry from the heart to revive us to the place where God's manifest presence of Christ is among us.
在新约当中，这样的复兴是神要使我们回转，让我们看到神与我们同在。
This summer, the English ministry went to the first floor for a trial run.
在暑假的时候，我们曾经在一楼试着要在一楼要聚会。
With our college students home, we needed some additional space, and we did it as a trial to see what things needed to be prepared ahead of time.
因为在暑假，很多大学生回到我们当中聚会，我们需要大一点的空间，那我们就试试看在一楼什么需要改进的地方。
And one of the Sundays in August, during the time of breaking of bread together,
在八月份的一次主日擘饼的时间
the presence of Christ came into that room during the time of breaking of bread.
主耶稣基督他的同在在那次的擘饼聚会当中临到了我们
in a way that we rarely get to experience.
是一种方式我们很少经历到的。
And I was encouraged by two things.
在这件事情当中，我被两件事情所激励。
I was encouraged, first of all, that God came with His manifest presence.
第一，当然就是神他自己，他的荣耀的同在，荣耀的跟我们显现。
We hadn't earned it.
我们并不是我们赚来的。
We didn't necessarily deserve it.
我们也不配得这样的恩典。
But God showed up.
但是神向我们彰显他的同在。
The second thing that I found encouraging was that the people recognized it was God's presence.
第二件让我得到激励的是，我们的会众明白那是主的同在。
And you might say, well, Brother Wendell, you're just looking for something that is nothing but feelings.
有些人肯定可以会发生这样的疑问说broad window, 你只是在讲一些现象一些感觉上的事情。
And I would have to say, no, I'm looking for the glory of Christ among us.
但是我要说不，那不是感觉，不是现象，而是我的重点在于基督他自己的荣耀在我们当中。
When the people recognized the presence of God among us that Sunday,
当弟兄姊妹们认识到那是神他自己的同在，
there was a simultaneous erupting into corporate prayer together.
我们一同发出同声的赞美，对着神发出赞美的祷告。
And after the time of breaking of bread was over, one of the brothers mentioned to me, wasn't it wonderful how it was all unscripted?Unscripted, not pre-planned.
这是多么美好的一件事情，就是我们没有想到会有这样，没有计划要这样的事情发生，但是神却坐在我们当中。
No one said, okay, let's pray now.
有些人是说，我们一起祷告吧。
No one said, okay, let's get excited about Christ.
也没有人说，没有人说我们一起祷告，也没有人一起说我们兴奋一点来经历神吧。
But his manifest presence elicited simultaneous corporate prayer all at once.
而是神的荣耀在我们不预先知道的情况之下，很自然的突然间发生在我们的当中。
I'm not looking for an experience.
我并不是在追求一个经历。
I'm looking for the glory of the Lord among His people.
我们所渴慕的应该是神的荣耀在我们当中。
I'm sharing the psalm with you because I believe it's a pattern for 2004.
我今天分享这篇诗篇，因为我就相信这是今年神要对我们做的事情。
It's a pattern of restore us.
它有四样事情，第一个就是让我们能够回转。
Revive us.
使我们复兴。
Show us.
向我们显现。
And grant us.
而且给我们赏赐。
It's a pattern for us to pray.Lord, restore us where we need restoration.
是一个诗篇教导我们怎么样向神呼求，求神复兴我们。
Restore us to the place where we are all experiencing the blessings of the covenant.
使我们回转能回到你这个圣约当中那样的祝福。
Lord, revive us that we might rejoice in you.
复兴我们，使我们能够在你里面得到喜乐。
Revive the the fear of the Lord among us.
复兴我们，使我们真是能够敬畏神。
Revive the turning away from idols.
复兴我们，叫我们能够离弃偶像。
Revive the ability of our ears to hear what you say.
复兴我们，叫我们的耳朵能够听你所要对我们说的话。
Show us your mercy.
向我们显出你的怜悯。
Show us your kindness.
向我们显出你的恩慈。
Lord, as we are willing to bend our neck,
主啊，当我们愿意向你低头的时候，
Lord, would you bend your neck?
主啊，你能不能也使你也能够低头看着我们？
That we can see you eye to eye,
我们可以与你眼睛对着眼睛，
and see the kindness in your eyes,
能够从你的眼神当中看到你的恩慈。
And Lord, would you grant us the fullness of your salvation?
主啊，求你将你那全备的救恩赏赐给我们。
Deliverance from our enemies,
使我们从仇敌的手中被你拯救出来。
And complete freedom in Christ,
在基督里有全然的自由。
This is my prayer for 2004.
这也是我在对着2004年的祷告。
And I believe that the psalmist has given us a pattern of how to pray.
我相信诗人在这里让我们看到如何祷告。
Could we pray these four things this coming year?
我们能不能一起用着这样的祷告为着2004年呢？
Restore us.
回转我们。
Revive us.
复兴我们。
Show us.
向我们显明。
And grant us.
并且给我们赏赐。
Let's pray.
让我们祷告。
Father, we thank you for your love and your faithfulness.
亲爱的天父，我们感谢你的慈爱，感谢你的信实。
That you have established in the hearts of many of the people.
你在人们的心中建立了一些信心。
Lord, we thank you for the peace that you have brought to the hearts of the believers.
我们感谢你把你的平安赐给每位相信你的人。
But Lord, would you bring your love
and
your righteousness from heaven to earth?
主啊，能不能请求你就从天上把你的爱，把你的公义显给我们看。
So that your glory may dwell among us.
所以你的荣耀就能够住在地上。
Lord, would you revive us?
主啊，求你复兴我们。
Breathe your life into us.
主啊，把你的生命放在我们的里面。
Free us from self-righteousness.
释放我们从我们自以为意当中。
Liberate us from legalism.
从我们从律法主义当中释放出来。
Cause us to be totally free in Christ.
让我们能够在基督里全然自由。
That we might worship you and praise you.
我们可以这样来敬拜你，来赞美你。
Lord, we thank you that you have called us.
我们感谢你，因为你已经呼召了我们。
To be your people.
成为你的子民。
Lord, we don't want to be that relative who you have to question whether you will invite to the banquet.
主啊，我们不要成为像我在信息当中所讲的那个亲戚，你必须要在那边两难的情况之下，不知道要不要邀请我们。
We want to be that relative whom you say, yes, I want them to be there.
我们要成为你的家人，是那个你希望能够邀请的你的家人。
That we might be able to rejoice together.
我们可以一同在你里面欢喜快乐。
Lord, would you be faithful to remind us of these things to intercede for?
主啊，就求你我们这样子祷告当中，求你继续来施恩典。
Would you cause us to be faithful to walk in your ways?
主啊，让我们能够信实的忠心的能够行在你的光中。
Lord, your righteousness will show us the way.
主啊，你的公义将会引导我们。
Cause us to walk in your footsteps.
让我们能够跟着你的脚踪行。
And in your righteousness.
并且在你的光中，在你的公义当中行。
We thank you in Jesus' name.
我们将要祷告是奉主耶稣基督的名。
Amen.